So the Akedah is obviously at the heart and soul of Parshas Vayera, the core of Avraham's emergence as an Ohev Hashem, more specifically as Yirei Shemayim Ata Yadati, Ki Yirei Elokim Ata. And it's often an event which elicits two very, very different, polarized or polar different approaches. And Rav Amital labored to create a middle approach. And I think it's important for our religious identity, our Avodas Hashem in general. In today's conversation, it's often quoted about areas in which we feel there's at least an apparent conflict between the Ratzon Hashem, the Ratzon Elyon, and human discoveries, human instincts, human proclivities. Over the last 10 or so years, a lot of this discussion has been pivoted upon our response to homosexuality, which is clearly something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu prohibits, homosexual activity. And yet, at least science has indicated that a certain percentage of people are born genetically with this disposition, and could HaKadosh Baruch Hu issue a command that seems to run counter to nature or the nature and the natural genetic reality that he himself created for human beings. And I want to discuss a medrash, one of the many sources which Rav Amital quoted. I'll cross-link in this shiur a link to an actual shiur that I summarize many, many more of Rav Amital's statements and how they helped him create this mid-range position about the Akedah. And I think it's important, as I said, in general, how we build our Avodas Hashem, how we navigate this question, even if we never face the question, and certainly even more so, I'm not going to relate to the issue itself of Orthodox response to homosexuality. It's for a different context, but certainly guidelines for how we relate to the conundrum in general. The Medrash, and I'll start with the Medrash, and then I'll try to elaborate. It's obviously a very charged issue, and I'm not going to engage in detail with the issue, but I certainly don't want there to be any misunderstanding about the issue. The Medrash talks, it's a famous Medrash about Avraham traveling to Har Moriah, Yitzchak traveling to Har Moriah for the Akedah, and the Satan deciding to block, and the Satan deciding to thwart their advance, because the Satan knows that these are high stakes. And the Satan knows that if this deed comes down, if Avraham ventures through the Akedah, then history will change, and the Jewish people will have a lodestar of zchuyos, and will be able to fall back upon the Kedas Yitzchak every Rosh Hashanah. So he's got a lot of skin in the race. This is really very, very tense moments for the Satan. And the Satan rallies and attempts in vain to prevent Avram and attempts in vain to prevent Yitzchak. And he doesn't just try to prevent them physically. Maybe he can't prevent them physically. Maybe that's not authority or capacity that Kadosh Baruch Hu delivers to the Satan. And again, keep in mind, which should be obvious to any listener, but just in case it isn't, that the Satan is not an opponent or a foe or an adversary. I'm laughing when I'm saying this of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he is portrayed in Lahavdil other religions, a rebel angel who's constantly at war with God, trying to win lost souls over to the side of evil and darkness and condemn them to hell. This is all Christian folklore. In the Satan, there is no power, there is no free-willed being independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aside from human beings whose free will was endowed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem has angels, and obviously these angels are dispatched to perform certain roles and tasks, and to provide refuah, to destroy Sodom, to inform human beings, at least in supernatural encounters of the future. And the Satan's job is God-given. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to have that job. The Satan begins every day reciting the same Shira Kadosh, 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 as every other malach. And his job is to challenge us. His job is to make us feel a little bit weak and confused so that we have real choice. Because if we saw reality as clearly as we should and as we do in certain points of our lives, like Yom Kippur on our deathbed, then we'd be bereft of choice. It'd be so clear. We'd be compelled to act favorably and properly. And the Satan's job, his task, his function delivered to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to challenge us, to confuse us, to try to impede us. But does he have the ability to physically block Avram? There's some in Russian that talk about the waters rising Well, this Medrash, it's a Medrash Tanchuma, talks about him trying to confuse, trying to play with Avraham's mind. And he appears to Avraham as an older person and starts challenging him. And I'll recite and fill in some of the content of his challenge and mental and psychological manipulation a little bit later. And then he appears to Yitzchak and he tries to challenge Yitzchak and confuse him and manipulate him. And that's the literal reading of the Medrash. But we all know that not every Medrash should be read literally. And if you take this Medrash literally, then it's just a clash between two forces, between Avram and an external force known as the Satan, who's trying to thwart or to delay this very, very dangerous event, at least dangerous for the Satan. Rav Amital read this Medrash very differently. He read the Medrash metaphorically in a very, very penetrating psychological manner. But this Medrash was a part of Rav Amital's, I'd call it a thesis. Rav Amital wasn't the type of person who wrote theses in large scale, grandiose, loud announcements, but through the years, and he talked a lot about the Akedah, or in Parshas Vayera, and he spoke a lot about the Akedah on Rosh Hashanah, obviously. Basically, when you're faced with, and I'll summarize it, I'll reduce it, here's the key point theologically, when you're faced with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command, Ein Eitzah Ve'Ein Gevura Ein Chachma, Ein Eitzah, Ein Tvuna Keneged Hashem, Tvuna Ein Eitzah Keneged Hashem. We don't know the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kilo machshev otzai machshev osechem, velo darchechem derachayinu om Hashem. We can't understand long-range plans that span thousands of years, the calculations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't play Eov who questions when HaKadosh Baruch Hu issues a command. We submit and we conform. And that's more or less the definition of Orthodox religion, is that there's a hierarchy and we submit to Hashem's Ratzon, even though we don't understand it. And now, theologically, what terms we apply to that doesn't mean that we submit to Hashem, even though we can't justify it based on human expectations of Rachamim. Do we say that it's a higher level of Rachamim, that even though in human terms it looks like an act of brutality and an act of barbarism, it's an act of Chasdei Hashem? Or do we say it's not an act of Chasdei Hashem, but we still submit? So there are different terminologies, and certainly our Rishonim took different approaches, and they're important ones. But the bottom line, the conclusion is the same, that Avram says Hineni, and that serves as a paradigm for eternity. That's why it's in Nisayon. It serves as a blueprint for all behavior, and everyone at some point in their life reaches the Akedah moment where they can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're suffering, and they submit to their Baruch Shalom. Rav Amital's thesis was that even in submitting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram doesn't abdicate his humanity. He cries, he loves his son, he doesn't depersonalize or objectify his son, but it's his son. And even to the point, I don't want to elaborate on the actual share, but even to the point that, according to at least one Medrash, Avram davens to the Ribono Shalom to repeal the Akedah. Now, how can you both attend the Akedah, become excited about the Akedah, travel to the Akedah, be enthusiastic about the Akedah, and daven against the Akedah? This should be rescinded. Well, that's why human beings are complex and they're capable of multiple feelings at once. As part of this portrayal, Rav Amital felt that this Medrash didn't describe a clash of two forces, Avram and the Satan, but that this Medrash was describing Avram's inner turmoil. Avram spent 3 days, indeed, excited to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command, but also, as we would say, churning, internal tumult, faced with uncertainty, faced with internal struggle, doubting himself. Did he hear it properly? Is this wise? Is this not because he was doubting the authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he was struggling with this reconciliation. Let's put it that way. He was struggling with this seeming contradiction between everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu had instructed him until this point and the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he had detected and the chesed that he had conditioned himself towards and this command which just didn't sync with everything he had seen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu beforehand. And in his mind, this is not the Satan opposing Avram. This is not the debate between Avram and the Satan. This is not a conversation. This is what's happening in Avram's inner world. And that's why to Avram, the Satan, quote-unquote, appears to him as an older man. It's the language of the Medrash, Nidmelo Kidmus Zakein, because for Avraham, he was an older man. So he's projecting his own thoughts, uncertainties, questions, doubts. It's going to be through the voice, through the vision. How do we think about, when we think about our own conscience, when we talk to ourselves, when we have inner internal debates, we imagine talking to our current self, whatever age we're at. Because in the continuation of the Medrash, when the Satan, quote-unquote, appears to Yitzchak, the Satan then appears to him as a young man, as a bachor. Now, why is the Satan masquerading? It's Purim time for the Satan. It's Yitzchak's internal doubts, struggles, concerns, reconciliation attempt. And when Yitzchak is talking to himself and questioning his own conscience, he's talking to a 37-year-old man. It's going to look like he's talking to someone much younger than the person Avram's talking to. So this was not the Satan debating or challenging or manipulating. These were Avram and Yitzchak legitimately churning over something that just didn't make sense, all the while advancing, progressing with enthusiasm to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, but still doubts about how could this be reconciled or deciphered. And the Medrash talks about the conversation, quote-unquote, that Avram conducted with the Satan, or as Rav Amital saw it, the internal conversation. So this Satan says, La'ana taholech, and Avram says, to Davin. Interesting, again, he says to Davin, because is Avram not yet willing either to speak to the Satan, the literal translation or metaphoric translation, to actually say those words, because he still hopes it won't occur. So his mind, he's shielding himself from that crushing reality that he may lose his son. So the Satan says back, or in Rav Amital's view, Avram Avinu counters as Misha Holech Lehispalel. If you're davening, why are you carrying fire and firewood and a knife? And then the response that Avram delivers, either to himself or to the Satan, is, well, maybe we'll be there for a day or two, and we'll eat and we'll bake some bread. So again, he's trying to hope, in the metaphoric reading, that maybe this Akedah will be transition into just some other ritual, encounter with Hashem, some sacrifice, not human sacrifice, but animal sacrifice, some festivity, some meal. And then the Satan says back, and again in Rav Amital's metaphoric, and again, Rav Amital didn't read it as carefully as I'm reading it line by line, he just said it's a metaphor, but I'm interpreting it, that, well, you heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Kachnas, Binchas, Yechidcha, stop avoiding the issue, stop confusing it, stop lying to yourself, stop deluding yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you, there's no wiggle room here. It's not going to change. Hashem didn't give you two options. Hashem wasn't murky in his details. It's a sacrifice, and you're going to use V'yovad Ben Shenasa L'chadim Hashem. You're going to lose the only and one son that you waited 100 years. So this is Avram reaching that very, very fearsome conclusion that there isn't going to be a nice, genteel carbon with some bread baked and a meal. It's going to be the Akedah, and he has to, at some point, he comes to the conclusion that he's facing it. But the struggle, the internal struggle, demonstrates that Avram has submitted but not abdicated his humanity, and he's struggling to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. And Hashem wants us to struggle, and Hashem wants us to try to decipher the two, and sometimes we fail, and that makes the submission even more resonant and more profound. And the Yitzchak conversation is the quote-unquote Satan who questions Yitzchak. Yitzchak struggling with his conscience in his metaphoric reading to Amalei, where are you going, Lana Taholech? And Yitzchak responds, I'm going to learn. Because maybe Yitzchak was telling himself that maybe this will all end up with some learning experience of Torah. And the Satan says, or Yitzchak challenges himself, Bechayecha v'misascha. Well, you're going to learn when you're dead or alive. And Yitzchak says back, wait a second, I can't really learn after I've died. And then the response of the Satan or Yitzchak's other voice is, Aluv bar aluva, how sad it is, how pathetic. Kama tanios nisnanis imecha. Forget about your father, forget about yourself even. Oh, your poor mother. How many fasts did Sarah conduct? Ad shelo noladeta, until you were born. And think about Sarah. So now the Satan is praying on Yitzchak's motherly sentiments. Okay, you've made the decision. You want to be a hero. That's great. Avram, he's made his. But your mom, anyone ask her? And then he prays on another factor. This is just a very searing medrash. V'hazakenu hishtate. Your father, he's demented. He's an old man. He can't think straight. His marbles are loose, scrambled. Hu hishtate, he's just a shotev. Hu lech l'shachata. And now he's going to pull a knife on you? And then Yitzchak reaches his own defiant clear-headed conclusion. Amar Afalpikin, he says back to the Satan, or back to his own doubts. Lo ervar al das yotzri. I'm not going to violate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command, the altivoy of it, my father's command. So, it's a stunning way to read the Medrash. I think it's a very important way to read the Medrash. I think it validates our own internal struggles when we're facing uncertainty, because we're always facing uncertainty. If you're not facing uncertainty, then you're very artificial and shallow, because life is much more nuanced, and not everything is black and white and clear-headed. And we always have moments in life and roadblocks and junctures in life where we're not sure what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us and of us. And it's legitimate to churn and to question and to have two sides and to validate the other side rather than expect there to be one voice. And of course, nowhere more so than the Akedah, where the conclusion has to be, there's no other conclusion. The conclusion has to be readiness. Avram doesn't ever shechti Yitzchak, but he's ready. And as far as he's concerned, he's there. Now, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu issues a command that he rescinds? That's also an important question, and that can be interpreted in many, many legitimate fashions. But from the human standpoint, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands, as difficult as it is, we adhere to that command. But that doesn't exonerate us or acquit us from the internal struggle to question how this reconciles with the virtuous human instincts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu embedded within us. And in fact, Hashem wants us to, because that's what makes us more human. And even if we're unable to reconcile, in the end, practically, we submit to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in ways that we can't understand, that doesn't in any way denude or empty the value of the struggle itself. It's a very nice medrash. It's one of the centerpieces of Rav Amital's thesis on the Akedah. I think it's important in general. I hear a lot of very black and white, binary, polar, radicalized views of the Akedah. I think they're very, very unhealthy, and especially if they're superimposed to some of the questions we're facing today, without the nuances and the subtlety and the complexity, I think they can lead to some very, very one-sided, simplistic, hurtful, dangerous, certainly not valuable ways to build our Avodas Hashem in a very complex world.